May be seated. Last week we introduced the phrase that we don't go to church, but we are sent by God by the power of the Spirit to be the church. A year and a half ago or so, I presented our vision for FBC, showing Christ as indispensable to our community. And the spirit of the vision is to not think of the church as a place you go and to just simply bring people in. We want to do that, right? We want to reach out. We want to bring people to Christ to become a part of the church. But again, church isn't just a place you go. It's being sent by the power of the church, by the power of the Spirit, to be the church. This building isn't the church. This is where the church meets. We must go and show Christ. We don't look at church like a business, okay? The church is not a business. But we are sent ones to go out into the world, to reach the world, bring people to Christ, and then see them come and be a part of the church so that they then as well go out into the world to bring people to Christ to do the same once again. We're sent ones. And that's what I began talking about last week. If you take your Bibles, well, you can actually look up here. But you can turn to 2 Corinthians 5:20. I want to quote this together out loud, reading it together. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Did you notice that Paul didn't say, I am an ambassador? He said, we're in this together. We are all. He's talking about you and me. We are Christ's ambassadors. And so it's interesting. He said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And anytime you see a therefore, you need to see what it is. Therefore. And we did a study, Bible study last week. And we looked at what the therefore was there for. And we went clear back even to chapter 1, didn't we? And we saw that what he was talking about in this context of chapter 5 and verse 20 is ministry. He's talking about ministry. And so we want to look at the next phrase. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. The phrase, as though God were making his appeal through us. Again, speaking of ministering on Christ's behalf as his representatives, displaying Christ. He makes this statement. It is an astounding statement that gives powerful impetus to your ministry as you go from here beyond these four walls to others. Now, I'm not into wowing you with the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch of the imagination. But this is noteworthy as you look at this phrase in the Greek. The section of the phrase, making his appeal, is from the Greek word that some of you may know, paraclete, meaning one who is called alongside to help. Who in the Scripture is referred to as the paraclete? Well, very quickly, you can look at John 14, verses 16 to 17. John 14, 16 to 17. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. The word there is paraclete, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He is referring to none other than the Holy Spirit. You are going to, as a Christian, receiving Christ, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you as the paraclete, the one called alongside to help you. First John chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, my dear children, John writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 1 John 2 verse 1 says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. He is an advocate. The word there is paraclete. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. My point is that just as Christ acts as an advocate on behalf of the ones he loves, and just as the Holy Spirit acts as a counselor, a comforter toward those to whom he ministers, so you and I also, as Christ's representatives, as his ambassadors, are used by God as paracletes to those to whom we minister. Wow. Think about that. That when you are ministering Christ, when you are displaying Christ to someone else, that is as though God were coming alongside that person through you. Wow. You are truly his ambassador. You are truly an instrument in God's hand, being used by God at that very moment. Wow. It's as though God were coming alongside others through you. And that's awesome. That sheds a whole new light on displaying Christ, being his representative. You are so much God's ambassador. It's as though God were appealing to that person, coming alongside that person through you. You are literally his mouthpiece. You are literally his hands, his feet, as you minister the truths of Scripture to those who hear you. That's the work of a true ambassador, to speak on the behalf of one, the one who sent you. Now think of that in light of the power of God. There's no reason to be intimidated. As you go from here and as you minister to others, you know what? You don't have to be intimidated because it's not you. It's God working through you to minister to that person. So here's our life change thought here today in light of our study. As you display Christ, you act on his behalf. As you display Christ, you are acting on his behalf. You are his representative to the world. And as you do that, you're trying to persuade men. You're trying to convince people to come to God in salvation through Jesus Christ. It's like you're persuading a foreign culture to be reconciled to the one who sent you. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that effectively? Well, we want to look at four necessities here in light of this, all right? Four necessities in accomplishing this. And the first one is you must know him. You have to know him. Obviously, you can't be an ambassador for someone you don't know. You can't represent them if you don't know them. You can't speak on their behalf. You know, every once in a while, we'll watch the news and there's some kind of a tragedy, some kind of a crisis. You see this oftentimes when there's like a mining accident. It's kind of a protracted situation that kind of goes on and they're trapped down in the mine for days, at least hours. Or maybe it's a kidnapping of a child. Okay, it's like, man, you know, and it's like, we don't know where the child is. And it's going on for days. And oftentimes, here's what a family will do. They're so distraught, they can't speak to the media or to the public. And so what they do is they have a trusted family friend who will come alongside and they'll speak on behalf of the family whom they represent. That's the thought here, that we are speaking on his behalf. We are instruments on his behalf. Now, the only way to do that, the only way to represent someone in a situation like that, is to know them. And so in order to represent Christ, to represent God, is to know him. Paul, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Paul's desire, his passion was to know God. And maybe you're here this morning and it's your desire to, you've come here looking, you've come here searching. You say, you know what? I want to know God. This is what I want. God wants to know you. He wants you to know him. And we do that through Jesus Christ, realizing and believing that he died on the cross, that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. We're separated from God because of our sin. And we realize and believe that he died on the cross and he was buried and he rose again to pay that sin debt that you couldn't pay. And you believe that he did that for you and you ask him to be your Savior. I'd like everybody right now, just bow your heads and close your eyes. This is a little different this morning in that you can't go any further with this message unless or until you know him. And if you already know Jesus as Savior, I'm asking you to be praying for others here who may not know Christ. And you just be praying. And I want to talk to someone here, if there's anyone here that you don't know Christ, you're not certain of eternal life through Jesus Christ, you can't go any further with what we're talking about here today without knowing Him. And so I invite you, as this passage says, and we're going to deal with more next time, I implore you, I beg of you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's how you are reconciled to God. You admit that you're a sinner. You confess it as sin and realize that your sin separates you from God. And you recognize that Jesus paid that sin debt that you could never pay. You could never become good enough to stand before a holy God. So you believe that Jesus died on your behalf and He rose again. And you could pray that before God right now. You can say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross and He rose again on my behalf for my sin in my place. And I ask You to forgive me my sin. Come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. And if you've trusted Christ today, you weren't sure about that, but say you prayed that prayer and you believed it in your heart, you believe that God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, you are saved. If you have questions about that, we want to answer that and answer those questions. Or you're not sure about that, we want to help you with that. So don't, after the service today, don't hesitate. Get with us or jot it down on the communication card and say you have questions. Or maybe write down, I got saved today. Man, praise God. I want to give you that opportunity. Now, thank you everybody else for praying for those individuals. You're welcome to look back up here now. Thank you for praying. But I want to talk to you now. Those of you who had your heads bowed and you were praying for others, we talk about knowing Christ, and you've professed to know Christ as Savior. But now you need to grow in Christ. Have you been growing? In order to know Him as a part of His family, now you need to grow in, as the Scripture says, the grace and knowledge of Him. And how do you do that? You have to spend time with Him. You know, you think of a husband, wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, or even a friend. You know, you don't get to know that person very well just simply by watching TV together. You know, you spend time together. You spend time talking. You spend time asking questions, answering questions, laughing together, doing things together. Are you doing that with God? Are you spending time with God? You know, if you're not, you're not growing in knowing Him, to know Him better. And the next point here speaks not just to knowing Him, because in order to represent Him, you have to know Him, but you also have to know His message. You have to know His message, what He's saying. 2 Peter 3:18, I started to quote that a minute ago, and that is, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To grow in His grace and knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself as God to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. You need to not only know Him, but know what He says. Know what His message is, and know it correctly. It's not just our opinions about the word of God. He gives you His message through His Word. I've talked to many Christians, sadly, who've been saved for years. I say, you know, yeah, I've been saved for 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and more. And every once in a while, I'll hear someone who's been saved for a long time, they'll say, you know, I really don't know a whole lot about the Bible. I'm like, really? Oh, man. Why not? Why not? Well, it's probably because they're not reading the Bible. They're not spending time with God. And I just encourage you, if you're going to know Him, to know His message. And spend time. And I just encourage you, I'm not saying go home today and read the entire Old Testament this afternoon and then read the whole New Testament tomorrow and you're good. You know, that's not how it happens, right? No, what we need to do is take it incrementally. Start with small passages every day and start reading some passages of Scripture every day. And if you're not in the habit of studying, one time through the week, set aside one time through the week to study. Maybe go to 1 John and say, I'm going to study chapter 1 this Saturday morning. I'm just going to get up a few minutes earlier. I'm going to take a half an hour and I'm going to find out what God says to me through that verse, through that passage. And you're just going to study the Word of God. Why? So that you can not only know Him, but know His message. Know what He has to say to you as well to others as you display Christ. Now, I'm going to say something that you might need to scratch your head over. And that knowing Him and knowing His message is a small part of ministry. Okay? We must know Him. You have to. You must do that. You must know Him. You must know His message. But that's just a part of ministry. Knowing Him and His message is simply a means to the end of ministry. You know, in eternity, we're going to have eternity to worship God, praise God, to get to know God. And it starts now. So don't misread or misunderstand what I'm saying. It all starts now. But right here and now, we're doing something that we won't be doing for eternity, and that's making disciples. That's what we need to do in the here and now, in our ministry toward others. You're not going to be evangelizing in heaven. That He wants that to happen now. And we need to be in obedience to that in the here and now. Knowing Him and His message is simply an end, a means to the end of ministry. I talked to a pastor of a large church in Dayton just this last week. This pastor and their ministry is making a huge impact on the community for Christ. I talked to him this week, and he said, we need more active saints. We need more active saints as opposed to people in our churches who simply gain more information. We need to learn what God has to say, listen to what He has to say, and then walk in obedience to that which He has to say to us. Listen to Francis Chan as he drives this point home for us.
When I was a kid, we used to play this game called Simon Says. Right? Most of us have played that, unless you're really young, because there's no app for it. Simon Says is, Simon Says, pat your head, you know, so okay, you know, Simon said it. It was a very simple game, but it's so weird how in the church, Jesus Says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it, you just have to memorize it. You study it, you memorize. You guys, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of the things we do, when He tells us to go out and make disciples, and how many people in our churches are actually making disciples? But they memorized it. You know, when I tell my daughter, hey, Rach, go clean your room, she doesn't come back to me 2 hours later and go, I memorized what you said. You said, Rach, go clean your room. I can say it in Greek. My friends are going to come over and we're going to have a study on what it would look like if I cleaned my room. She knows better than that. And so why do we think we're going to come before the judge one day and quote everything that he said? And talk about how much we know. It's just this black and white stuff. If I just started with Scripture, I'd go, here's what I would do. I would start making disciples.
So we want to know Him. We must know Him. We need to know His message, but it can't stop there. We can't just memorize those things and think that that's good enough. Here's the third necessity this morning, and that is to have His heart for others. If you want to be effective in ministering Christ, displaying Christ to the people around you, you must have a heart for others. Look at Matthew chapter 9. In order to have a heart to care for others like Christ did, look at Matthew chapter 9. Beginning with verse 35, He went through all the villages, all the towns and villages, Matthew 9:35. He went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Did you get that in verse 36? It all started with the fact that He saw the crowds. In order to minister effectively for Christ and represent Him, you need to have open eyes to the needs of the people around you. Hey, keep your eyes open. He was looking out there. You know, it's kind of like a farmer. You know, a farmer gets out and it's like, "Wow, look at the harvest. Man, isn't that great? Oh my goodness. You know, there's a great need to get that in there." But does the farmer just stand there and twiddle his thumbs? "Oh, I wish somebody would go out and reap that harvest for me. I wish somebody would pick those beans or, you know, combine the corn or what, you know, whatever. I wish somebody would do that." No, he takes the responsibility. It starts with opening your eyes. Hey, it's ripe. The people around you have needs. And the harvest is plentiful. We need to get our heads in the work of the Lord. To be thinking, keeping our eyes open to the needs of the people around you, around us. We don't have mere sympathy. Sympathy just says, I feel the pain. I feel with them. Compassion. It says here that Jesus had compassion. That means that he put His hand to the plow. He started getting to work. And that's what we need to do to get involved. This past week. Well, let me read this. This past Wednesday, Troy Daily News, Wednesday, April 6th, reported, "City sees spike in heroin overdoses. Approximately 8 people, including a female who was reportedly 5 months pregnant, were treated for heroin overdoses in 5 days. April 1st through April 4th, in 5 days, 8 people were treated for heroin overdoses, according to the Troy Police Department. That's in our community, your community right here. According to Captain Joe Long, heroin overdoses in the city are increasing, with 19 heroin overdoses recorded so far in 2016. 19. Just Friday, listening to the news, WDTN Channel 2, they reported there are 800 inmates in the Montgomery County Jail. That's just, you know, the next county. 800 down in Dayton, 800 inmates in the Montgomery County Jail. 400, half of them are a result of heroin arrests. The other half are the result of heroin-related crimes. People stealing or committing crimes because of heroin. You think there's a need? This last week, I was invited to attend a heroin task force subcommittee meeting. They're talking about the epidemic of heroin in the Miami Valley. Now, get this. There were the police, the judges, the courts, lawyers, doctors. They've been throwing money and time and effort into this, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And what they said, "We can't do this. We don't know what to do. What can the church do to help?" Wow. You think I was going to just sit on my thumbs and say, "Well, there's nothing we can do." Man, I went to this meeting. We're hosting the next meeting here at FBC. pray. I'm telling you what. Heroin, the heroin epidemic, will affect FBC. As a matter of fact, the heroin epidemic has already affected FBC. There's a need. The needs are, it's unbelievable. I also, again, just this week, I had a meeting with someone from a New Life Center, a center that is pro-life, and they're ministering to young ladies who are pregnant and need pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and prayer and support and the gospel and baby needs and all of that. I met with them and just saying the need is tremendous. You look around and you see the needs of, and whether it's something, crisis or tragedy like that or not, you need to realize that there are people around you who are in desperate need. Open your eyes to the harvest field, to the needs around you. You know, you think about the guy who comes into church and, you know, he's just obviously down and he needs encouragement. Rather than say, oh, you know, stay away from old Joe, he's got a problem. Really? No, that's when you come alongside old Joe and say, hey, Joe, I noticed you seem kind of down today. How can I encourage you? How can I help you? You see that lady who comes into work and she's sitting in her cubicle and she's just sobbing all day long. She can't carry on a conversation for sobbing. Rather say, hey, just leave her alone, man. You know, she's got a problem. You come alongside and say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I just want you to know I'm here to help. I care. I love you. You know, to keep your eyes open to those kinds of needs. But not only keep your eyes open, but also in Matthew 20, verses 29 to 34, Matthew 20, 29 to 34, Jesus' disciples were leaving Jericho, and a large crowd followed him, and two blind men were sitting along the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. What do you think Jesus did? I don't want to listen to those. I'm too busy. I got a place to go. No. Look at verse 34. It says, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. He heard their cries and he ministered to their needs. So listen to others attentively. When someone expresses a need, don't get your preacher beeper out. Oh, I need to call the pastor and see if he can help out. No, you start ministering to them. Listen to them. Seek to help them. You get the impression that Jesus gave his full attention to the needs of the people to whom he ministered. He gave his full attention to their needs. So open your ears. But you know what? Even there, it's not a matter of just having open eyes and open ears so as to have his heart. The final necessity that I want to point out today is to then intentionally serve others. Intentionally serve others. Having his heart must be carried out to the actions of ministry. Minister like Christ did. How did he do that? Well, again, in Mark chapter 1, you can take your Bibles and turn there. In Mark chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. By the way, if you're new with us, if you can get YouVersion on your iPhone or iPad or if you don't have an iPhone, what's the other phone? Android. You can get that and you can go to YouVersion and you can follow along. Our notes are there. It's kind of a neat thing. But Mark chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him. Now, leprosy was considered a communicable disease. In fact, someone who had leprosy had to walk around going, when people came around or when they were walking through a populated area, they had to go, unclean, unclean. And they had to tell people, you know what, I have a disease and I don't want you to get it, so stay away from me. A man with leprosy came to Jesus, and Jesus turned the other way and said, "Get away from me," right? Is that what he did? No. Man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Look at the faith. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." He touched the man. Holy God reached out and touched a man with leprosy. Jesus, don't you know that you can catch his disease? Someone comes in and they don't smell like you. Man, stay away. Really? Is that how we're going to treat the person who may look differently or smell differently than we, than you? Is that how we're going to display Christ? May not be. Man, well, look at the opportunity that you have. You keep your eyes and ears open and you reach out and have helpful hands. Just think of the power of an appropriate touch. You know, you think of people in need, it's how important it is to maybe hold their hand and say, "Let me have prayer with you." Or maybe pat their shoulder or an appropriate hug and say, "Man, I just love you. I want to let you know that I care for you. I want to minister Christ. I want to show Christ." To pray with them. So think of the power of an appropriate touch, but also the power of a helping hand. If you're able, when you're able to actually show up and help somebody move in, you know, moving truck, "Hey, you need any help?" Man, you know, jump in and help them out. Mow their lawn, shovel snow. Hopefully not anymore this spring. But, you know, you're looking for the opportunities. Take brownies to your neighbors. You know, I was kind of convicted. It was early on in the winter. We had new neighbors moving across the street. They brought brownies to us. You know, it's like, wow. I guess we found out he's a pastor at another church. So anyway, we were thinking, oh, this is a good opportunity to reach somebody for Christ, you know, and he's a pastor at another church. But anyway, but the power of a helping hand. You know, look for that opportunity to split wood, to reach out to, and then as you do that, you begin to minister Christ. Not only helping hands, but look at Mark 6, when Jesus landed on the shore, he was wanting to get away from people. He needed a break. And he pulls up to the shore on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and lo and behold, the people followed him. They beat him there. I would have said, "Oh, no, guys, start rowing. Let's go the other way, you know. I need a break." That's not what Jesus did. When he landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. You need a ministering mouth. Not only helping hands, but a ministering mouth. You're helping, you're serving there, and in time, somehow, some way, you start to minister the message that Christ has given to you. Have a ministering mouth. Use words of encouragement. You know, sometimes we want the encouragement or we think we need the encouragement, but it doesn't matter. You encourage, and so often when you do that, lo and behold, you're encouraged. And Jesus tailored his response to the need of the person to whom he was ministering. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's the gospel. Sometimes we just need to make sure we have the right timing when we say what needs to be said. Sometimes there needs to be a loving, biblical confrontation. Someone who may be struggling with sin in their life, and you say, "You know what? I know the answer." And the answer is repent and turn to God through Jesus Christ, ministering with your mouth, and then minister the word. I just encourage you that, you know, many of you know a lot of good verses. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Romans chapter 8, we talk about, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to purpose. Whatever verse it is, and you say, you know what, that's a good verse for this person as they're talking and they're sharing their heart with you and you're reaching out to them. Don't just dump the verse on them. I encourage you to minister the verse to them. And ask them, do you know what that says? What does that mean? That first phrase, all things work together for good. What does all things mean? You know, and you minister that verse to them. Trust in the Lord. What does that mean? Do you understand that? With all your heart. What does that mean? Do you understand that? You're ministering the word to that person. The old adage says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, you have the greatest message of all, but they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So what you need to do then is to be involved with people. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus fed the 5,000, when He fed the 4,000, they had been with Him for quite some time. And He says, hey, you know, 3 days. Hey, guys, we need to feed these people. He was involved with them. We need to feed them. We need to minister to them. And so He supersized their meal and He fed 4,000 and 5,000 people, as well as the women and children. Jesus was involved with people so much so that He became one of us. Holy God became one of us. I heard someone talking just this week, and they said, think about that. The Word, God, Holy God, became flesh. Stinky flesh. You know, I had to put deodorant on this morning. Because if I didn't, by now I'd stink. Probably do already. But you know, we go to the bathroom. Holy God became man. He was willing to become flesh. That's being involved. To dwell among us. Get involved with people. The point here is to minister. In order to minister effectively, you must get involved with one another and others beyond the four walls here. We minister to one another as in the body and the family, but beyond that as well. And so it all must go beyond just the compassion, the sympathy and compassion to go beyond the emotions to actions. Go beyond the emotions to actions. I trust that this morning's message, you're sitting here going, man, oh, we there are great needs out there. And maybe you're thinking of a specific individual. Man, I just need to show Christ. But go beyond the emotions to action. That's what Jesus did. When He fed the 5,000 people, when He fed the 4,000, when He landed, He saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them. He healed the sick. He saw, He had compassion, and He healed. So my admonition here is don't merely sympathize, but be willing to make sacrifices. Again, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I'm going to embarrass him. He didn't ask me to say this, but one of our men, Gene Pack, was motivated by our vision for the ministry. And really, he was motivated by that vision long before it was articulated. I mean, he started our van ministry 16 or more years ago. And he still does it today, week in and week out. So he was motivated by this long before it was articulated. But as we articulated our vision to show Christ as indispensable to our community, and one of the means to doing that was through our life groups. And he said, you know what? He didn't talk to me. He just said, man, you know, this is something that we ought to do. And he had a heart for the men at the Buckeye House. He said, you know, I'm going to see if I can get some guys from the Buckeye House, guys who are going through some tough times and transitions in their lives, and people that sometimes people would hold maybe at an arm's length. He said, no, he says, they need Christ. He started a life group. He tried to start life group. Through all of that, there's several of the guys who've come to Christ through that. You've seen some of those guys come through our doors here. What is their impression of FBC as they have come through the doors? Have we ministered to them as Gene has ministered to them? Man, they love this guy, man. He takes food from Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings from our Wednesday night meal and Men of Faith. He takes it down to them, man. They love Gene, you know. He's ministering to them and they're turning to Christ. The point here is, first of all, thank you, Gene, for being that example of showing Christ as indispensable to our community. Wow. You know, what a blessing. My challenge to you is to display Christ's love. And when you do that, you are acting on His behalf. Display Christ's love. When you do that, you are acting on His behalf. God is making His appeal through you. This is a means to the end of seeing souls reconciled to God. Here's my question for you this week, all right? What can you do this week to come alongside someone on the Lord's behalf? What can you do this week to come alongside someone on the Lord's behalf this week? Right now, I'm asking if you're willing to commit to displaying Christ in a specific way this week. Someone beyond the fellowship. We need to do that with one another, okay? Don't stop doing that. My challenge to you is to make a commitment here today to say, I'm going to keep my eyes. You don't have to answer that question today as to how you're going to do that. But just saying, I'm going to commit in my heart right now today to keeping my eyes and ears open to the opportunities or an opportunity out there to minister Christ in a specific way. I'd like everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes. And as you answer that question, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. And there's a couple ways that you can do that. You can write it on your communication card. You can say, I am going to commit to looking for an opportunity to show Christ this week, to display Christ this week. I'm going to make that commitment. I'm going to be praying about that. You may not know what that'll look like right now. You probably won't. You're just saying, I'm going to look for those opportunities. I'm going to keep my ears open to that opportunity this week. I'm making that commitment. And if you're writing that down, another way I think you can make a commitment is just simply every head bowed and eyes closed. But those who are making that commitment, just slip your hand up and take it down. Say, I'm willing to do that. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? I'm willing to keep my eyes open, my ears open. Amen. As to how I can display Christ this week. Again, jot that down. And ask for God's help. Be praying for one another in this opportunity. And then intentionally, as that opportunity comes away, intentionally do it for Christ. Share Christ. Maybe a conversation. Again, maybe, hopefully not shoveling snow, but maybe mow somebody's lawn, help them cut wood, stack wood. Take brownies to your neighbor. Visit somebody. Invite them to church. Repair a roof. Repair a car. Help them with their homework. Something. And you're doing it intentionally so as to, and consciously to show Christ. And you're asking God, help me this week. Right now, I'm praying that you'll help me. Because we can't do it in our own strength. It's God ministering to others through us. And then what I'd like you to do is sometime this week, email the church and in the subject line put displaying Christ testimony, displaying Christ's story, whatever. Put it in there. Make it clear that it's your story about how you did that. If you don't have email or you'd rather do it, as the ushers are taking the offering here in just a minute. And by the way, our offering is of giving back to God so that the ministry of displaying Christ to those around us can continue. It's so that we can continue to accomplish that work of displaying Christ as a ministry. And so I encourage you to give faithfully to that end. But they're going to be handing out, if you would like one, a paper that says displaying Christ's testimony that you can take home with you. When that testimony happens, when that story happens, fill it out. Or come next Sunday, fill it out, turn it in. And next Sunday, we're going to have a celebration as to what God did through you and this ministry of FBC. Not to pat ourselves on the back, because it's not us. It's God doing it through us to His honor and glory. Heavenly Father, work in our hearts. And I pray that this would show You, display You this week. And I pray that we would see You do a mighty work, drawing souls unto Yourself, making disciples to Your honor and glory. And so we make these commitments here today, and I pray for each one who makes this commitment that they would keep their eyes and ears open, Father, and give them the boldness, the confidence, the encouragement to follow through and to show Christ. And may we do this to Your glory, asking for Your help and the power of Your Spirit working through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we conclude this morning, you can stay seated and you can just listen as we sing this new song, and just even now in your hearts, think about the love of God and how it compels us to serve, how our relationship with the Lord compels us to obedience. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would see light, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all our sin, than when justice was served. And where mercy lives, of the greatness of Jesus that pulls me in. Now to tell of my story is to tell of Him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won.